you.
Chase William D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You know what that music means. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. It's Tim Hasselbeck time. He's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorite Sign up at BetUS.com. Use the promo code 102.5 for up to 200% sign-on bonus. Timmy, how you doing?
Doing great. How you guys?
Well, we're good. We've 2 weeks in a row been talking about a Titans win, but we've also been and I hate it when things like this happens. But you know, as an analyst, that you know you sometimes there's a good thing that happens, but then there's a bad thing that continues to linger. The Titans in the second half is what continues to linger, and it cost them a game against the Giants. It almost cost them against the Raiders and the Colts. We'll put the Bills game aside, but when you watch the Titans go from the first half where they're so dominant and things fall off in the second half, what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, it's hard because it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, when I watch games, NFL games especially, like the good teams, if you look at them and you say, okay, like what's the difference? And I'm like, I don't know, like consistency, complementary football, like just – you have a fumble. Like, how does the defense respond? Okay, they hold them to 3, you know, rather than get up a touchdown. Or there's just, like, a consistency with, like, how the team plays. And then, you know, bad teams, you know, I just feel like, you know, they'll have good plays. And I'm not saying the Titans are a bad team, but, like, you'll have good plays, and then there'll be moments where you're like, what was that? Like, it's not consistent enough. And so if I really, like, were to think about it, and you just think about some, like, other games that are similar to that this weekend, like Jets-Steelers would be one of those games where you're like, why does that happen? Or Cardinals, for example. Like, the Cardinals look horrible sometimes. And then offensively, you're like, how does anyone stop them with the quarterback running around that way? So I think the Titans are kind of in that mix right now where – look, when they get Derrick Henry going and, you know, the quarterback's making good decisions, like, it seems great, and then there are times where it's like, man, like, can they not get out of their own way? And, okay, it's hard to pinpoint, like, why that is, but that's certainly how it feels.
What do you believe the identity of this Titans team is right now?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
My thoughts exactly.
Right? I mean, I think that, and that's the challenge, is, like, I'll give you an example. Like, there are some teams, you know, whose identities have changed. Like, take the Green Bay Packers, for example. It used to be, like, you think about the Packers, you think about, all right, here's Aaron Rodgers. Like, you know, he'll attack every area of the field, and, you know, they create matchups with their receivers, and they're so good. You watch Green Bay play right now, like, they called over 30 runs. I think they have twice now for, you know, their two backs combined. So, I mean, they're calling over 30 run plays. That's new. But if you say, like, what's their identity, I'd be like, you know what? They like to have right now Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in the backfield at the same time. They're going to call a bunch of runs. They're going to try to stretch you horizontally with those guys. And then what Aaron is able to do is on some of these called runs, spit it out to one of their receivers and pick up, you know, whether it's a touchdown or a first down or things like that, which was the case 2 weeks ago and was the case last week. Like, that is Green Bay on offense right now. It's not who they've been, but it's who they are now for sure. Look, I don't really know, you know, if I were to say, like, okay, who are the Titans? Like, what are they? What are they trying to do? Look, I would say, and this is, you know, I don't know if I have enough evidence of this right now, but I think that, you know, the lack of production at receiver, it's a problem. Like, I don't feel like they feel like they have a dominant guy, and because of that, I think it's created, you know, a lack of identity in the passing game.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Talking Titans and just the division, the AFC South. Now, with me saying that, Tim, how I'm trying to figure out, beside Houston, because I haven't seen much of them, what is there a big difference from, you know, Jacksonville, who leads the division, to Indianapolis, who's third in the division? Is there a big difference between those three teams? Is the gap that wide?
Look, I don't think so, because, like, you look at the Colts. I mean, listen, the Colts have been so bad at times. Like, and there's been massive frustration, you can tell, you know, out of Matt Ryan. Like, whether, you know, he's not totally comfortable yet, or he's not seeing things the same way. Maybe it's because they've had injuries at receiver, but, you know, they're kind of finding their way. And then, Jacksonville is a very good defense, I think. I think they've gotten better on that side of the ball. I think that's helped. And then when you look at, you know, how Trevor Lawrence has played, like, I think he's played significantly better, you know, notwithstanding this past week and bad conditions. So, I don't think there's a big difference. I think they're all in some ways similar. I think the Colts were probably the best team of the group, but I think there are three teams that still at this point, with a disappointing start, are all right there to win the division.
Now, we discussed this earlier, Tim, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill has played, he's played good. He hasn't been the reason why they are 2-2. You can't blame the two losses on Ryan. Yeah, he did have an interception in one of the games, but I mean, throw the Buffalo Bill game out. I mean, the guy has played, he's done just enough. He hasn't made any mistakes. He hasn't been the Ryan Tannehill of last year. But moving forward, considering where this roster is, the lack of depth, and they still, the running game seems to be coming on now. I would love to see it against that front, against Washington this weekend. But do they need Ryan to do a little bit more if they want to advance, you know, into the playoffs and further?
Yeah, I kind of think so, because and when you say do more, like
Win a game. He has to now he's not losing them a game.
Yeah, and I think here's the challenge. Like, I think because we're looking at it and we're saying, I always go back to this. I believe in my heart of hearts, okay, quarterback is a dependent position. And so, like, that's not to say that, like, quarterbacks can't make good plays. But I don't care who you are. You need guys around you to make plays. So, like, look at Tampa right now. They're not the same on offense as they've been kind of dealing with receivers. Like, it's undeniable their quarterback's amazing. I brought up Green Bay a second ago. Like, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best to ever play it. They are not a passing team right now, and so I just think that, like, look, there's not a dominant one. You know, something you asked me a couple weeks ago about D-Mace. Like, there's not a dominant number one receiver, and so, you know, and now, you know, Treylon Burks has got the turf toe, and, you know, and tight end, like, there's not this matchup problem. There's not Travis Kelce or Darren Waller. Like, there's not that. And then because the run game is, like, the type of run game that it is, like, I just don't know. Here's the other thing about it. Like, where's the offensive line right now? Like, there's been injuries there. I just think there are so many factors that I think it's easy to say, like, so, to answer your question, like, I guess I would say this. Like, yeah, he needs to play great for them to, like, really, really, you know, do damage, be a threat. But, like, what does that great look like, and how can you do it with, like, the supporting cast that you have? I really believe that that's the case. Like, you know, go down the roster and be like, all right, well, okay, so these teams that we think of as top teams in the AFC, and you're like, well, what would this – who are the 11 guys that start, you know? What would it look like in Baltimore, in Kansas City? Like, what would it in Buffalo? Like, who's starting? Like, I think you – I mean, I don't think that you'd run down the roster and say, like, all these, you know, this guy. I don't think he would do that. And that is, and when you consider quarterback being a dependent position, look, I think it's just something you got to think about, take into consideration.
Yeah, you're right, because I always go back to, and even when he first said it, I made sort of a, like, listen, y'all need to listen to Vrabel when he's talking in regards to this, when after the season, when he said, listen, I know he didn't mean it as a dig at his quarterback, but he was saying, like, listen, we need to be great around him. That's just the way it is. We like our quarterback, but we got to elevate our play around him if we want to get further in the playoffs. And, you know, right now they can't do that. So it seems like Ryan is doing enough to win games because he doesn't have that number one guy. Maybe if he had that number one guy, you could look to him and say, hey, listen, you can do more because we got a number one guy you can get it to.
Hey, I did a tape, and everyone's like, hey, you know, why is Jalen Hurts playing so well? Why is Jalen Hurts playing so well? Here's part of what's happening in Philadelphia right now. They're calling more runs than any team in the NFL right now, okay? And the quarterback is taking off and running the bunch. So they're running the ball. That's part of what they're doing offensively. And then they're getting so many one-on-one opportunities for two guys that you could maybe argue are number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. They're getting one-on-one opportunities. Like, go watch the Washington game. Those guys are just – they're making contested catches in one-on-one opportunities. And everyone's like, oh, look at how good, you know, Jalen Hurts is playing. Look, and he's playing well, okay? Like, mm-hmm. He's doing fine. But, like, you know, those are incompletions other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not in Philadelphia right now because they've got two really, really good wide receivers that are making contested catches.
He's Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Tuesday at noon. Coming up next, we'll get more into the rest of the NFL, including that NFC East that he was just alluding to with the Eagles. We'll do that coming up. Tim is presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorites. Sign up at BetUS.com. Just use the promo code 102.5 for up to 200%. Sign on bonus. Jason DeMace here. Willie D will join us from Prague here in just a few minutes. So I start with the NFC East. Simple question for you, Tim. Is Philly for real? Do you think they're the real deal?
Yeah, I think they're for real because they're really good on defense. They're getting to the quarterback. What, they have like 9 sacks or something against Washington a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, so they're good, you know, defensively. And then I think the other aspect of it for them is they're running the football. They do a good job of that. The quarterback has certainly helped that. And then, you know, all the stuff I was saying to you before about matchups that they're creating with their wide receivers, like, that's a good team. That's a really good team. And, I think that the quarterback probably comes down to earth a little bit in terms of the passing, but with everything else being so good, like, they may still end up winning games that way.
Okay, so then I ask you this. What are the 3-1 Dallas Cowboys? Dak Prescott has been out. Jerry Jones going on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas today, saying he won't be ready for week 5, but Cooper Rush has been winning games. So when you watch them, what are they?
I think that's a really, really good defense. And so I think, you know, we talk so much about offense, but like when you have a really good defense, you have a chance. And everyone was panicked about what the offensive line was going to look like. Truthfully, the offensive line has played well. They've been effective running the football. I don't want to take anything away from Cooper Rush because I know how hard it is to come off the bench and play, and people expect you to play like a starter, and oftentimes guys don't. It's hard to do. And he's done a good job. But they're going to get so much better on offense when Dak comes back. You know, you saw the impact that Michael Gallup had being back in the lineup this past week, and I think it's only going to help CeeDee Lamb. The fact that they're, you know, running the football, you know, as effectively as they have so far, I think is important. And so I think that's a team that's a good team. I've said it from the jump in the preseason, you know, before, you know, Dak was injured, obviously, but I think they are a playoff team. I think the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff football team, and with Philly playing the way that they're playing, could end up having two teams, you know, from that division in the postseason.
I think the NFC, Tim, has several teams. You know, the Giants could be one of them. I put the Vikings and Packers in this category, the Bucks, that they're probably not for real. And here's why I say that, and I'll look at the Vikings and the Packers. Even though they're both sitting at 3-1, you know, I've watched several of their games that they squeak by. I mean, they barely, when you look at the point differential, 6 points, you know, is the difference between points for and points against for the Vikings and the Packers. I feel like there are some things that those teams I named are missing right now that could come back to bite them as the year goes on.
Yeah, well, and so here's what's interesting, you know, and to swing back, like the Giants, for example, they're 3-1 as well. Their point differential is 5.
Yep.
You know, like conversely, for the 4-0 Eagles, point differential 44. So, like, you know, yeah, there's like, look, you're winning these close games. You're not always going to win all the close games. I just think for Green Bay, what sticks out to me is that if they can kind of weather this storm where they get these receivers to be on the same page and the tight end Tanyan gets a little bit healthier, and because I think he can be a factor in the passing game, like I think Green Bay is going to end up being okay. And they're a team that's got a good defense, and they've got a coach that has, you know, head coach that has experience, and they have a quarterback that, you know, if you just look at some of the plays in terms of the point differential and that type of thing, like what if Romeo Doubs catches that go route, you know, at the end of the game this past week? Like it's going to, and he should, honestly, it's a perfect throw. He's in the end zone. You think back to the beginning of the year, like that type of stuff, you know, drops. Like I think Green Bay has a chance if the receivers will come around because the quarterback play is going to be good. You know, Minnesota, I don't have as much of a confidence in that, but look, at the same time, I do think that that's a good, talented roster, and they'll be balanced. I think their quarterback is better than anyone's ever given him credit for being.
Now, to me, Tim, I'm watching the game last night, the 49ers and the Rams. I don't know if the Rams, they're just, it seems like they're just a bit off. And I don't know if they will ever come around. I guess once Jefferson comes back, that offense, it start going a little bit better in the passing game. Because right now, Cooper Kupp, teams figured it out. Teams are going to let him catch the ball at 2 or 3 yards, 5 yards, and then make the tackle. They're not going to let him beat them consistently down the field like he did last year. But I'm looking at the 49ers, and even though their record states that they're 2-2, I think they're a more comfortable team with their quarterback, with what you call as the quarterback, Garoppolo. It just seems like, you know he's not the greatest guy, but they know who they are, and they can do the things they know they're good at with Garoppolo at the helm.
I agree. Like, and, you know, maybe there's a limit to you because, like, you know, you have this opinion of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, look, he's good. Mm-hmm. He's, like, one of the 32 best. Like, sure, like, but, like, you know, do you win a Super Bowl with him, you know, you maybe you're like, I don't know if I'm winning a Super Bowl with him. But I think we would all agree he's one of the 32 best on the planet right now. Yes? Fair?
Yeah.
Fair.
Okay. And so the rest of the team and how they call the game and all that stuff, like, to me, that's better than, like, the growing pains you're going to deal with, you know, a quarterback that had no experience. I mean, that's really how I feel about the Niners situation. And what's interesting is I think we're going to end up looking like geniuses through all this. But, like, hey, we didn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I think that's how this is going to play out. And What's going to be funny about that is that they tried. They literally were telling everyone they were trading him before they were actually able to trade him. And, you know, however it worked out with the musical chairs at quarterback and, you know, Matt Ryan ending up in Indy and Atlanta having to go a different direction and Cleveland solving a problem and all the different things that they had, you know, it basically ends up working out where he ends up, before September is over, as their starting quarterback. They're going to have double-digit wins. They're going to make it into the postseason, and they're going to be a headache because it's a really good roster around them.
Can Denver fix their problems this season?
That to me, yeah. Look, here's what I would say. And they were way better on offense this past week than they were. But they looked like the most disconnected offense I think I had seen 2 weeks ago. And they still weren't perfect this past week. It was significantly better. The injury to Javonte Williams is not going to help them because just at this point he was their best, you know, their best back. I'm just shocked at how uncomfortable Wilson looks and how uncomfortable the receivers look with him. Like, will it come around? I mean, you have to think it will because I think he's a good player, but that to me is like the biggest head scratcher is why they don't seem to be on the same page and why he looks so unsure, because a lot of what they're doing is very similar to things that he had done in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think how much do you think that's partly the head coach?
I think it's partly the head coach. I think it's partly the quarterback. And I think that it's partly we maybe have an impression of those wide receivers that they're actually better than they are.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, because they're big and strong and fast. And so we said, well, they must be good. And so I think it's all of those things. I'll say this, too. Like, I mean this. Like, you know, being a head coach – you know, getting a head coaching job because you were the play caller for, you know, a really good quarterback, like, I just don't know that, I just don't think that that's a good indicator of whether or not you're going to be a good head coach. No. I just don't. That doesn't mean you won't be or you can't be, because we certainly have seen guys that have become good head coaches that way, but I just don't think that that's the indicator at all.
I think we're also learning that maybe that division isn't as good as everybody thought it was going to be, too.
Well, at least not at this point.
Well, in the Raiders. I mean, look, that's another good example for me. Like, look, Josh McDaniels, I think, was a very good play caller in New England. Like, that is true. It's fact. He proved it. Now, he also was calling plays for a really good quarterback the vast majority of the time. Not always, but the vast majority of the time. And so, you know, I just... like, that doesn't mean that, you know, all the talent in the world means you're going to end up, you know, having a great team as a head coach, you know, with the Raiders. And by the way, the Raiders, like, I think they're having a hard time up front. Like, their offensive line hasn't played well, and I think that's really made it hard on Derek Carr.
Tim, great job as always. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us every Tuesday at noon. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Coming up next, Willie D joins us from the Czech Republic. We'll check in with him. I really didn't mean to do that.
Check and check in.
I swear I didn't mean to do that. That is next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.